Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. May it be food. May it be real food. Food that sustains, food that makes you healthier spiritually, food that restores you, food that gives you deeper and deeper vision and perspective on your life. You know, what you do externally can be very important for the kingdom, very, very important. But something greater is why you do it. Keep this in mind, because the readings again and again deal with this. This underlies so much of Paul's teaching. Why are you doing what you're doing? If it's to gain favor, to gain approval, to gain praise, to be looked upon as important or whatever feeds your ego, that's where we naturally tend. Even if our external works are kind of neutral, or they're very good works that benefit a lot of people, what matters is why we're doing it. If we're doing it for self, if we're doing it for our own pleasure, if we're doing it because we're seeking glory, we're seeking recognition, we're seeking recompense, whatever it may be, we're doing it for the wrong reasons, and it does not benefit the kingdom of God. Therefore, no matter how hard you work, it doesn't benefit the kingdom of God. It doesn't contribute to your eternal salvation. So why you do what you do is so important. You can dust a room, change a diaper, answer a coworker's question at work. You can do all those things. And if you do them simply as human actions, that's what they remain, human actions. They don't follow you into eternal life. But if you do those things, those simple things, answering a coworker's question, changing a diaper, dusting a room, cooking a meal, whatever the case may be, if you do them saying, Lord, let my life glorify you, may I be generous and filled with hope and kind, those things get communicated even if they're not communicated by the momentary work that you're doing. But when you have a right order within you, when you're oriented to the honor and glory of God, God himself works through your simple little actions to bring hope or to bring peace, even without you knowing it. I remember how forcibly that struck me one day when I was teaching and I was in a faculty lounge. And this was just one example, but it's one that stood out to me. And there was another woman who came into the room, faculty room, and just said or did something with someone and then went on. And when she walked out of the room, this one person said, another faculty member said, you know, every time she walks into a room, she changes it. And I knew what he meant. She changes it. In other words, something happens in the environment. I don't know how else to describe it. There's a peace that comes or a joy that comes. That someone was living for Christ. So in a certain sense, even though she was doing some clearly ordinary secular thing by coming in and asking a teacher a question or giving that teacher particular information, nevertheless, her very presence was reflecting Christ. You don't know the power you have, brothers and sisters. By your baptism, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to preach it. You don't have to directly talk unless it's asked for, but you don't have to directly talk about the Bible or about Jesus, though please, when you can do it, do it. All I'm saying here is you don't have to do it. That's not what makes it holy. It's whether you are really a temple of the Holy Spirit, whether God is present in you. If he's present in you, then he will be present through everything you do. Every thought, every word, every action. You are a living temple of God. So keep that in mind as we take a look at these readings today. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. Brothers and sisters, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. All those things reflect an inward faith that's perhaps not directly articulated, but an inner faith that begins to, in a certain way, impregnate every thought, word, and action of ours, as long as it's not sinful. Even the most mundane things, as I said, we do, can be impregnated with the presence and the love of God if we're living out our baptism. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also do. And over all these, put on love, that is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. You know, I took time just this morning to thank the Lord when I got up for about 25 things. Things I've thanked him before for. Things perhaps I've never thanked him for, but I took time to thank him. It creates in you a space where you're not consumed by what's going on, but you're seeing your life as God sees it, and you're rendering him gratitude throughout the day. Over all these, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's why we pray a morning offering. So if we don't think of it before every act, we say we offer to the Lord all our thoughts, words, actions of this day. So we want everything we do, no matter how mundane, to be an offering to God of praise and of thanksgiving. Psalm 150 certainly underscores that. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. And now the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. Here's where now Luke takes us and to say, all right, now let's get this down to some very concrete things, and I will share with you the mind of Jesus Christ on them. So listen to this. Jesus said to his disciples, to you who hear what I say, love your enemies. I could give 5 radio programs on that. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. In other words, don't retaliate. You may point out their wrong, but don't retaliate. Always do good. You will win people back more by your goodness than by your attack on them, let alone your gossip, let alone seeking to do them harm, let alone trying to ruin their reputation because they've hurt you. Don't retaliate like that, not in your heart. You've heard me say many times, if there is a legal issue, you can always bring it to court. You can always seek for legal help. Of course you can. It's the spirit in which you do it. You can seek justice, but you don't have to destroy the person in the process. Always what you're looking for is to convert the person, to bring them to the love of Jesus Christ that will eliminate or at least greatly reduce that sin in them. You're always seeking the good of another, even as Paul tells us, even those who persecute you. That takes grace, brothers and sisters. That takes coming before God and say, fill me with your mind, with your heart, with your life, because I can't do this on my own. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. From the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. That cloak was very important. That's what people protected themselves from the weather in, and it was perhaps sometimes the only thing they had. And at night, it's what they wrapped themselves in. So if somebody took your cloak, that was a rather major thing. You and I have three or four other things we can turn to in our closets. Many people did not. Many people do not. And what Jesus says is, do not withhold even your tunic. Then give them the rest of your underwear. Give them everything. If they're that much in need, give them all you have, rather than trying to grab back. Now, that, you know, you need to be able to sort that out in wisdom. But the point is to love even your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. It's hard, but once you really start doing it, you will be amazed at the peace and the joy that come to your heart. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. This is the mercy of God, and we're called to imitate it. And you can't unless you know the mercy of God in your own life first. Receive the mercy of God, then you'll be able to give it. Be merciful, just as also your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Now remember, judging here means you cannot judge someone's eternal salvation. You cannot. We cannot determine who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. We do not have that power. We don't have that right. We don't have anything to do with it. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. That does not mean you cannot judge a particular action in accordance with the laws of God. Of course you can. You can judge it in the sense that you can say that's going on and that needs to stop. You can judge that, but you can never judge someone's eternal salvation. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and gifts will be given to you, a good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. There it is, brothers and sisters. We need to pay attention to that last verse. We need to pay attention to this whole gospel. But this verse, for the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. If you treat people with anger and bitterness and hatred and desire for revenge, if you continue to allow jealousy and envy and lies to consume you, then you will have to face retribution for that in eternal life. Stop it and put all your trust in him. Let him lead you in the way he wants you to walk, because he will supply, he will empower. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.